This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Julian and Sharit. Trax, a Singapore-based startup serving the retail industry, is finalizing a deal to raise about $100 million US dollars. This is at a pre-money valuation of about $1.1 billion, and it's a price tag that could make it the second most valuable startup in Singapore. Now, Trax's image recognition technology is used by global consumer packaged goods companies, including Coca-Cola and Nestle, to track their products on retail shelves.
And the CEO, Joel Barr-El, whom I confirmed is not the father of Superman, but said that the company is taking a few private equity firms and raising about 125 million US dollars from the likes of a Chinese private equity firm like Boyu Capital. So he is a Superman of sorts on planet Earth as well. And also the GIC, Singapore's main sovereign wealth fund.
So, I mean, this valuation should now rank only behind the ride-hailing giant Grab. Grab, who is amongst a Singapore-based tech startup. Now, Grab was valued at $10 billion US dollars in its most recent funding round, where it raised about $2 billion US dollars. And this new round is aimed at financing three acquisition. They've signed a new deal. They've signed a deal to buy LensTech company, a Beijing computer vision technology service provider, as well as direct competitor for an undisclosed amount.
Now, Trax is also planning an IPO in the next 18 to 24 months, and they've long planned for a listing on NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, but they've also said that there are advantages to listing in Singapore, where the company has its headquarters along with two co-founders and other senior managers. So they are also in talks with the SGX for a potential dual listing after the local exchange approached the company. So the CEO, Joel Barr-El, added that they are having a discussion with SGX, and they've proposed doing a listing SGX, that is, they've proposed a listing in Singapore first and then in New York, which Trax is reviewing.
So it appears that not only Hong Kong, but Singapore is also allowing this kind of structure for dual class for the tech companies.
So you wonder whether Malaysia is going to jump on that bandwagon anytime soon.
Well, that would be the day. I mean, I would love to give up some democracy for seeing many tech companies to list here over here in Malaysia. Because right now, I think the Malaysian market is filled very much mostly with GLCs. And that is becoming kind of boring.
Yeah, and telecommunication as well. And with Leap, I think a lot of them are listed in there for our tech companies in Malaysia. Is that right?
I think Leap is for
Ace. What am I talking about? Not okay. Leap, Ace. What was I thinking? Okay.
Okay, now aside from that, bringing it back home as well, the EPF has reportedly bought Sports Direct's UK headquarters for £120 million. That's 637 million ringgit. This is according to the UK's The Sunday Times. So billionaire Mike Ashley's Sports Direct said on May 17th that it was in advanced negotiations to sell the freehold rights to its property, including a warehouse complex and distribution centre, to a KWAA Logix Sportivo for £120 million. The Times reports that EPF owns that company. Now, the UK sports retailer has also said upon completion of the deal, it will take a 15-year lease on the property and continue to operate it as a distribution centre, offices and retail business.
So to me, this is a very interesting structure because EPF has become the landlord of Sports Direct and they're guaranteed a tenant for the next decade and a half. And EPF themselves have said in the past that they're exhausting their investment options in Malaysia. They practically owned almost everything in Malaysia right now. And that could be an exaggeration. But seriously, EPF is an 800 billion ringgit fund. They really have to look for other options to invest in, particularly overseas. And particularly in doing direct deals like this rather than going to the usual route of buying into listed companies.
Yeah, so I mean, Sports Direct International, they're a British retailing group and one of the largest sports good retailers, which they have in total about 670 stores worldwide. And the company owns a large number of sporting brands, especially under the sportsdirect.com. So they do have their online business, quite a big one as well. And the company operates. That's the thing. They being an online business and sports business in general are operating under very low margins.
I guess also this move, if you take a look at it, it isn't very surprising that the EPF should be getting getting another foothold in the UK, because they have said that they're going to look at different types of investments, and they've been in the UK before. I think in 2017, they divested a British office asset for £175 million. And that buyer was Chinese Estates, which led a pack of three Asian investors to buy the trophy asset. At about the same time, they also put on sale Tower Bridge House at St. Catherine's Dock in London for sale. And they have moved to divest its properties in Britain since it was part of its investment strategy to maximise returns to its contributors. So perhaps we will see the EPF moving into the UK even more now going forward.
Yeah, I think in the latest annual report announcement, the EPF did mention that they're looking globally to expand their investments, investment options.
Yeah,
I think that's the right move, actually.
Yeah, because they've said that the Malaysian market is too small for them specifically, and that's, I quote, and they need to diversify, move to other markets, and need to be working with other fund managers with different strategies as well as access to other asset classes.
But going back to Sports Direct, it's also very interesting for them because just with this move, they have freed up about £120 million or 637 million ringgit. Now, that's a sizable chunk of money. And if they have that kind of online strategy for the business, this would make them sort of an asset-light company, being able to use their cash for expansion into other things rather than just sinking that into brick and mortar into the property.
Yeah, so besides Sports Direct, I mean, if you look at their competition, again, a lot of sports companies do have online presence. Besides that, we know Decathlon, the two are quite... I would say they do have some online presence as well, and they also implemented quite a number of technologies which has been quite, out there. For an example, the RFID, where it simplifies the consumer experience when they do purchase, which is similar to Amazon Go.
Yes, if you also take a look at EPF's current asset allocation plan for 2017 to 2019, you can see that they've got 36% in stocks, 10% in real estate. The majority of their assets are in bonds and 3% in the money markets, of which up to 32% of their assets are to be invested abroad. So currently, overseas assets account for about 26% of their total investments, with the potential to expand in the future.
Yeah, they've already hit their cap. The cap is 30% maximum for overseas investments. And I think that, for the sake of increasing future returns, they might want to push that cap higher. But that depends on whether Bank Negara allows them to take so much money out of Malaysia, because EPF can actually move the ringgit market.
And all right, we are coming up on the 7:30 news, after which we have more international stories for you, particularly the EU parliamentary elections. So be sure to keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.